So in Jeremiah 28, 38 I mean, we read these words. Let's start off verse 5. So King Zedekiah was a bad king, by the way. King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he that's Jeremiah is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you." In other words, you can do what you like to him. All right? Verse 6, "Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guardhouse. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. Now in the cistern there was no water but only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. But Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, a eunuch, while he was in the king's palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. Now the king was sitting in the gate of Benjamin. And Ebed-Melech went out from the king's palace and spoke to the king, saying, 'My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the cistern, and he will die right where he is because of the famine, for there is no more bread in the city.' Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, 'Take 30 men from here under your authority and bring up Jeremiah the prophet from the cistern before he dies.' So Ebed-Melech took the men under his authority and went into the king's palace to a place beneath the storeroom and took from there worn-out clothes and worn-out rags and let them down by ropes into the cistern to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, 'Now put these worn-out clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes.' And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah stayed in the court of the guardhouse." Jeremiah was rescued. Now that's an intriguing story. And three things I notice about Ebed-Melech is that he had a compassion for Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech was a fellow believer. Hardly anyone else was. And he had a real compassion for Jeremiah. The other thing I noticed about Ebed-Melech is he was courageous to come before the king and to ask for Ebed-Melech's life to be spared. That's taking some courage. Because Jeremiah's a marked man, Ebed-Melech might be joining him in the system. But he got a good word from the king that he could go and get Jeremiah out. And then I see how Ebed-Melech was committed to getting Jeremiah out. And I can't help but see what he did. Like, there's not much around. The city's in ruin. And he gets old clothes, old rags. And, of course, they're all part of the what's needed to get Jeremiah out of the well. So that's a pretty amazing picture, eh? So Jeremiah is spared and is pulled out of that cistern, that well, all because of Ebed-Melech. And I remember Abbot Moyle, I do remember the little phrase he said. It went something like this. Ebed-Melech did what he could with what he had in order to make a difference. There you go. How does it go? He did?
Do what you can.
Yeah.
Where you are.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. All right. So you can see that in this story. I remembered it as he did what he could with what he had in order to make a difference. But the key thing, he made a difference. It's so easy to be apathetic. It's so easy not to do anything. It's so easy to not use the resources. So easy not to be courageous. And Jeremiah would have died. But here's a man, Ebed-Melech, he's a good example. So why this word touched me is because I thought, man, this is a good picture for all of us. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that we need to be helping each other. So we're meant to be thinking about how can we help one another. And I know that when we think of mission, we're thinking of as missionaries in God's kingdom, we're meant to be helping do what we can to make a difference in a non-Christian's life. Isn't that right? So yeah, I don't know, probably best passage I can think of, I've got it written here, is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul says these words in verses 20 to 22, "To the Jew I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might, by all means, save some." See that the language there, make a difference. Do what you can. Because it's so important that people hear the gospel, that people come to know Jesus. So that's true. That's speaking of non-Christians. And what I find in the story of Ebed-Melech is it's not just that I'm to do what I can for those who are non-Christians, I'm also to remember to do what I can for a Christian, a fellow believer, like Ebed-Melech. So we're not all going well. Some of us are in holes. Some of us are struggling. We might be on the mission field in a hole. We might be down at Bunbury Fellowship struggling. We need to be able to support one another. We need to be doing what we can in order to make a difference. And I feel we need to really understand what it looks like and to practically be involved in it. So I'm all for, you know, I'll be talking to my own leadership at the church here, trying to work out what we can do to help the Bunbury Fellowship. You've been through hard times, and it's good to be able to think about what we can do together. Yeah, that's right. All those sort of things. And I just want to finish off by talking a little bit about what I see in the New Testament, especially in regard to believers helping one another. And I was really intrigued by the Apostle Paul, some of the things that he mentions. So, for example, in Acts chapter 9, in verses 23 to 25, I read these words. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with Paul. But their plot became known to him, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. And so what I pick up in that story is that there were fellow believers who helped him be rescued. See, that is pretty clear, isn't it? I know in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you'll see some spectacular rescues by God himself. But we got a part to play in it. Paul did. So he had people like Ebed-Melech who helped him. So we need to think about how we can help one another in that regard. But that's just one area. What about another area? What about in Philippians chapter 4? We read there about another way we can help each other. In Philippians 4:15 to 19, we read these words. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Helping out. Making a difference. How this time? It's not rescuing. Our last story was about Paul being rescued by fellow believers. Here we have fellow believers giving to Paul. So Paul is receiving from them. And we need to do that, eh? So part of Mission Week is to consider how we can support fellow missionaries. And then there's one more story I'm going to bring, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 15 to 17. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes, I don't know, too hard to say. Hermogenes, that sounds good. All right, verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. And I look at that and I go, oh, there's another great passage. Here is Paul talking about how he was refreshed. So he was rescued, he received help, and he also was refreshed. And we just got to get it into our heads how to do this better. To break the trend in our society where life's all about me, and we get to really care for one another. Back to the story of Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech was a champion. There was a whole lot more to happen. But you know, Ebed-Melech, means servant king. Do you know that? Melech is Hebrew for king, and Ebed is servant. So when I think of the name, that's pretty cool, because I know someone else who's a servant king, and that's Jesus. And of course, in everything I've said tonight, this is nothing more than what Jesus did. Jesus is the one who has helped us so much. And he didn't just die on the cross, and that was it. As we've been seeing in our series through the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus continues to help his people, and he's expecting us to help each other. That's how it's meant to be. Remember those passages we saw in the book of Hebrews in our morning service a few weeks ago? It says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he's able to come to the help of those who are tempted." This is the ongoing ministry of Jesus. In verses 15 and 16 of Hebrews 4, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathise with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." That's Jesus. That's the Ebed Melech, the greatest Ebed Melech, the great servant king, who died for our sins, but who continues to minister to us and help us so that we're going to get to glory. He's going to guarantee it. He's working for us, and we're meant to be part of that. We're meant to be working with him, helping one another. So I was really stoked when you said, yep, you're able to come up. And it's good, because I know, Greg and Margaret, I feel bad about this. I know that you have had difficult times. And I just thought it'd be good to hear part of your story. I only shared a part of your story, but to remember our responsibility to help one another. And that's something that we need to do better and better. Just getting to know some of our mission families. We went and saw one, Vicky and Jordan, and also Peter and Mel Sharp. I know personally that they've had some big struggles, and they might not want to share too much of that struggle, but they have been. And we need to, even if we don't know the details, we need to help and support each other. I would encourage you all to fill out those mission slips, you know, even if it's not to do with giving financially. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do what I can to make a difference, to help each other. That's how it's meant to be. This is our last official night for mission. So I thought this is, thanks Lord for giving me this word, challenging me as well. And I hope the Lord will challenge you as well. We've got to make a difference. We've got to stop thinking worldly and thinking whatever suits me. Well, that's the most important thing. Thank you Lord for Ebed Melech. That's what Jeremiah would have said. And maybe we'd be able to say the same. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord, for that person. Thank you, Lord, for the Bassanine Church helping out Bunbury. Thank you, Lord, for how, you know, whatever it is, we need to be helping one another. And one day, ever thought about these words? This is my last one to close on. You know, these words are really challenging. Jesus says in Matthew 25, "Then the king will say," starting at verse 34, Matthew 25, verse 34. "Then the king," that's Jesus, "will say to those on his right," they stand for his believers, his followers, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a most amazing welcome. He has purchased us, and one day he will receive us. But he says these things, and these next things characterise those who are followers of Jesus. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it to me." What is Jesus teaching? He's telling, get busy helping and caring for each other. And when you do that, you're doing it to me. And that's meant to be something that characterises every true Christian. Born of God's Spirit, we're meant to be those who help one another. Yeah, no matter who they are. But especially, the context of this is especially to fellow believers. We are to help all people, but especially not neglect God's people. Yeah.